Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he will respond. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. Know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch. Missed the first hour, a lot of college football. So, you know, I think we covered almost everything from the from Saturday's action. A lot of LSU-Alabama, of course, and how that impacts the playoffs. And if you missed it, all on podcastarena.com, or if you want to... Okay, 503 for a first one. But if you also are interested in the playoff implications, go to Sports Map, where I wrote a little...
Or we call it the map.
Well, there's a lot of maps now. There's automotive map.
The map.
Well, I mean, it is the best map of all the maps. There's no question.
It's the top map.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's still sportsmap.com. But I did a piece yesterday basically detailing how
the playoffs... I thought you weren't working this weekend.
I took Saturday off. I took Saturday off, so and binge watched Jack Ryan.
Oh, how is it?
Good.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, Not as good as the first one, but good.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's but I enjoyed it. Binge watched that and then watched the first Rick and Morty last night. Not quite as good as it was when it left. It was good, but I wasn't blown away by it. But it was also like 3 a.m. when I got up and watched it. So. All right, we want to go through the NFL from yesterday.
Yep,
we'll start with the Bears beating the Lions 20-13. And somebody asked earlier about how many suicide pools got ruined this weekend.
I imagine most of them.
It'd be hard to get past some of these. He said he actually took the Bears, so Bears win it.
I saw a Falcons, Dolphins, Titans, Steelers, Vikings, Jets parlay, moneyline parlay. $100 would have won you $194,000.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Lots of underdogs this week. And yeah, I liked the Lions, and I'm lucky because I teased the Lions.
And then you didn't know Stafford was going
to
be out.
I didn't know Stafford was going to be out. So suddenly I had gone from 2.5 to 8.5 in a tease, and then the numbers basically, 7.5 or 6.5? Yeah. I lost like 4 points of value when he goes out. So I got really lucky to not lose that, but yeah, I mean I wouldn't have bet the Bears, but I definitely wouldn't have bet the Lions without Stafford.
Ravens beat the Bengals 49-13. Not much to say there. Bengals are doing the best job of tanking right now. Browns did beat the Bills, so you had a 6-2 team that was a dog, and they lose at 19-16.
Yeah, that was. I don't know. I don't want to say. I mean, the Bills missed two kicks.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a different game, but the Browns are definitely not right. That's still a pretty messed up football team.
Hey, they're going to win their next 7 and go 10-6.
Oh, sure.
You watch. Okay. Chiefs lose to the Titans, and this one, boy, the Chiefs did everything that they could do to lose that football game. And when you can't stop the run, I mean, Derrick Henry had a huge game. Yeah. You're going to lose games.
You look at Patrick Mahomes' stat line, and then you say, and the Chiefs lost that game. It's just embarrassing. They are so bad defensively. I can't take them seriously as a Super Bowl contender.
No, not anymore.
I mean, it's just awful right now. And are they going to be in every game? Are they going to win a lot of games in the regular season? Sure, but come postseason time, when defense matters more and more, I don't like this Chiefs team. And like I said, the stat line for Mahomes yesterday, 446 yards, 3 touchdowns. You lose?
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, well, and it's a lot more than that. I mean, when you just look at the team stats, even, they had...
By the way, if their special teams is just as much to blame as the defense. The defense sucks, too, but the special teams is also bad.
Both teams had one turnover, so that's a wash, but 530 yards to 371. 78, that's two in 4 minutes.
Thank you.
78 plays to 49 plays for the Titans. I mean, it's just, it was just silly, and they lose the game. So, and I know a lot of people, that was a clear offside on the field. I don't.
Okay, well, you shouldn't let it get to that.
Yeah, I don't think, honestly, I didn't think it was offside. And I've watched that thing as many times as everybody else. I thought he just timed it really well. But, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, oh, well, you know, again, you shouldn't be in that position for a tie.
Yeah.
That late in the game.
And quit giving up fumble return touchdowns and nonsense. I mean, it's just nonsense.
The this one, I so wanted to bet the Falcons all week long.
Oh!
I used the Falcons
in a tease, too, but in our little contest thing that I do with Eric, when we were discussing our games, and I tried my best to get him on Falcons plus 14, and he was like, it's a hard no. He's like, there's no way I'm putting the Falcons down. And so I got vetoed on it, but yeah, I didn't think the Falcons would win outright. I pictured it.
Yeah,
Falcons score a touchdown late to cut it to 10. And the Falcons offense still doesn't look great, but their defense came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they just pushed the Saints around. I don't know if the Saints weren't taking them seriously or what, but that was, I mean, there was no mistake box score. The Falcons were way better than the Saints yesterday. Way better.
In New Orleans, too.
Yeah.
Jets beat the Giants 34-27.
Yeah.
I think they're happy they kept Adams, by the way.
I would say so. And boy, all of a sudden, the Daniel Jones, I mean, now he's throwing four touchdowns, no picks, and they still lose. It's like, oh, boy, what's going on here? How about Saquon Barkley? 13 carries, 1 yard.
Yeah.
1 yard.
Boy, that big battle between him and Le'Veon Bell, 18 carries, 34 yards for Bell. So, not exactly a great showdown there. Buccaneers beat the Cardinals 30-27. The only number I cared about here was Cardinal plus 4.5.
Only number I cared about was over 51.
Yeah, when it was 27-23 late in the game, I'm like, okay, Bucks can score here. That's fine. Just don't throw a pick six to ruin the cover.
Yeah, we had the Cardinals at that contest too, but my biggest bet this weekend was the over, and it got there. What a dumb decision by Kyler Murray, though. He gave away that game. And I guess he's a rookie. You're going to have that. And I've seen some things out of him that make me go, okay, maybe he's going to be better than I thought he was. But it could also be, you know, Baker Mayfield a year ago was showing us some things that made us go, oh, okay, maybe so.
Maybe, yeah.
But, yeah, Kyler Murray, that's a really poor decision that cost his team a game.
Dolphins, I love the Dolphins to cover. Didn't love them to win, but they go in. Indy just doesn't play games that aren't close, that don't come down to the end. That's all they do.
Well,
good teams, bad teams, it doesn't matter. It's always close.
What I'll say about Indy, I mean, not that they should have covered somehow, but almost everybody thought that Jacoby Brissett was going to play, including me. And, I mean, had I known Brian Hoyer was going to play, I would have taken the Dolphins. There was basically no way to know until game time. Either way, why did the Colts lose this game? Speaking of Nostradamus, I talked about this a week ago. Adam Vinatieri is going to cost you games. You got to stop treating this guy like he's Adam Vinatieri from 2004 or whenever. I mean, he 100% cost them this game. That missed extra point, and there was no bad hold. He missed an extra point, which forces at the end of the game, instead of kicking a chip shot field goal, the Colts have to push for a touchdown, and they don't get it. It's just, I said it's going to cost them games. Frank Reich has got to do something about this. I get Adam Vinatieri's a hero in that town. He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer, probably. He's not a good kicker right now. You cannot let kickers cost you games in the NFL, particularly when you're a team like the Colts, who's in the division mix, And now 2 weeks in a row, you've lost game. You had all the momentum in the world after that Texans game. 2 weeks in a row, you lose games because of your kicker. You've got to fire Adam Vinatieri. You have to.
Yeah, I think if Jacoby had played, they win the game. I still don't think they were ever covering 10.
No, I don't think they were either.
And that was the only thing I did right all weekend was the Cardinals and the Dolphins. And so I went 2-0 on NFL. Packers beat the Panthers 24-16. Panthers almost got in at the end.
That's a really sort of bad result for the Panthers. They deserve better than that. And yeah, you're right. They almost got in. I mean, I guess it almost doesn't cut it, but I'm starting to smell a little bit of fraud on the Packers.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think the Packers are the biggest 8-2 fraud in the league.
Well, they're right up there with the Seahawks. But yeah, and I don't know. I just feel like that game, like watching that game, it felt like the Panthers were supposed to win. But I guess supposed to doesn't get you to the window. I don't trust the Packers right now.
Steelers beat the Rams 17-12. I don't trust the Rams right now either.
You can't.
And don't look now. Steelers are 5-4. They're not
telling
out of this.
You. RJ, all that talk to get me off that pick.
Yeah.
All that talk. What happened? They won outright.
They did.
Come on. And stayed under. More important. Boy, another big play I had this week was under 21.5 in the first half.
Yeah.
Defensive touchdown about 15 seconds into the game.
Oh, yeah.
Another defensive touchdown on a crazy fumble. I guess it was a fumble. And it still took me a missed kick, or otherwise I wouldn't have covered. I covered. They somehow only stuck to 21 in the first half. But that should have been the easiest play of the year. And I had the total, the total game under, too. I mean, the offenses are just bad. The Rams, their offensive line is so horrible. And Goff sucks when he's under pressure.
Yeah,
he is a different guy.
You called that big time. That's what. Yeah, that was your whole reason for playing.
And Mason Rudolph just isn't good. I know the Steelers thought they had something with him, and
they do. They have a backup quarterback.
In a way, it's like, okay, we traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They're way better because they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They're a different team defensively because of that, and they're better for it. But man, it would be nice for them to have a first round pick this year because they're going to need a quarterback soon.
But they're going to be, if they keep going like this, it's going to be a mid-first round pick. You're not going to be able to get one of the big dogs.
That's true.
And you'll have Ben back next year. We'll talk Vikings-Cowboys when we come back.
Yeah, something I said needed to happen for the Cowboys to win that game.
Indeed.
Didn't happen.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Before we get to the Cowboys game, one hockey play tonight, Ottawa, Carolina, under 6.5. If you can still get it at 6 now in some places. I still like it at 6. Don't love it, but under tonight.
All right.
So for a little hockey play. So pick up where you left off with what you said had to happen for Dallas to win the game.
I said for the Cowboys to win this game, they've got to get Ezekiel Elliott going, and they never could. And did I think that Dak was going to throw for 400? No. Let me preface it by saying that. But I still think at the end of the day, they couldn't get anything out of Elliott. And
they kept trying, even though, I mean, the Vikings obviously sold out to stop him.
They said, listen, and that's why it was a confusing thing for me at the end of the game when Dak had basically kept you in the game this whole time. And then crunch time comes and it's like, well, let's go away from that.
Yeah.
It just seemed like an odd situation. So Kirk Cousins finally gets that monkey off his back. We won a primetime game on the road. Signature win.
Yeah, which went against Fezzik's play.
I mean, just wait, though. Kirk Cousins, he'll lose another big game and he'll suck again, according to everybody. But
yeah,
I thought that he played a smart game. And, you know, he wasn't great. He didn't do anything. Like, his numbers at the end don't pop out at you, but he was smart, and the Vikings ran the ball well. And, I mean, that's what it boiled down to at the end of the game, which one team was able to control the ball, and that was the Vikings.
And while Dalvin Cook averaged under 4 yards a carry, they were able to get him the ball in the passing game a lot.
Yeah.
And they hit him on all seven targets.
I also thought it was a questionable decision, the possession before the last possession, for the Cowboys to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, go for it. I mean, go for it there, and then if you don't get it, you're going to need a touchdown anyway. You've got to get a stop anyway. Kicking that field goal, to me, it didn't do much. I don't know. I feel like you've got to have you had a couple chances to get touchdowns. You got to take those chances.
All right. Someone on Twitch said Jordan just won Rookie of the Year officially.
All right, congratulations,
no shock,
dude.
No shock at all there. So we'll have a story up on that very shortly on Sports Map. A couple other things. First off, happy Veterans Day to you and all the veterans.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service, all of you, and thanks so much. And I don't know if you saw this, and it kind of relates slightly, but are you familiar with who Don Cherry is?
Yeah.
And I think
I was wondering your take on this.
Don Cherry is he's kind of a legendary hockey analyst. He's also kind of a crusty old guy.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys who, yeah, he always wears these different jackets. I mean, he was kind of like Calvin Murphy does.
Yep.
And he managed to get himself in a little trouble this week. Now, one of the things they do up there for Veterans Day is you buy poppies.
Yeah.
And you wear these red poppies, and it's a couple bucks, and the money goes to help veterans, and it shows your support. Well, he kind of went off on the whole thing. And his point... I don't know what his point...
Apparently, the implied, at least that's what everyone thought was implied, was that he was saying all these immigrants love living in Canada.
Yeah, but don't wear poppies.
And right.
So here's
okay.
Here's what he said. I live in Mississauga, which where Val was living when I met her. He says very few people
right
wear...
Right there between Louisiana and Alabama.
Yeah.
Mississauga.
In Ontario. Says very few people wear the poppy. Downtown Toronto, forget it. Nobody wears the poppy. Now, you go to the small cities, you people that come here, whatever it is.
You people.
He dropped the you people that come here, whatever it is.
That's right, guys.
You love our way of life. You love our milk and honey. At least you can pay a couple bucks for a poppy or something like that. These guys paid for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price for that.
Damn.
Not wise, guys.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't know if he's right or wrong. I don't know anything about it. But, like, I think what he messed up was saying the you people thing.
Yeah, you people that come here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that his point is unfair. I mean, all he's saying is show a little support for the troops. But when you start singling out you people.
You people.
And he's also said enough in the past that you know damn well what he means.
Yeah, he was kind of on thin ice anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And he's always been on, like, European hockey players. He basically says they're trash. And but when I first heard it, I'm like, well, okay, if you're going to come here to our country and take a part in it, you know, recognize the fact that there's a reason. I kind of feel that way about America. If you're going to immigrate here, make sure that you recognize the veterans who... you know, made this way of life available to you.
So that's right.
I don't hate that comment. I just think when you get into you people that come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life. Well, now you're separating them. You know? And when you should say, hey, all of us should do this, then you're fine. But he did a whole segment on it. And apparently, you know, the guy doing the show with him was giving him a thumbs up. And then the backlash started. And so he got fired. Which, and when asked about it, he said, I know what I said and I meant it. Everybody in Canada should wear a poppy to honor our fallen soldiers. Okay, why didn't you just say that? That's all you had to say. Don't make it about immigrants. Yeah. Just make it about everybody.
Not wise, guys.
Yeah. So he added that to keep my job, I cannot be turned into a tamed robot. Okay. And yeah, I don't know that it was as offensive as, of course, the NHL and Sportsnet in Canada totally distanced themselves as Don's discriminatory comments are offensive. They do not represent our values. I mean, yeah, I mean, it didn't come out and say, hey, immigrants. I mean, he did kind of dance around it. So I don't know that it was, I mean, should he probably have been fired for everything else when you add it all up? Probably.
Yeah.
But, so, oh well, no more Don Cherry.
Yeah, Jordan was a unanimous choice.
Oh, really?
Which, no real surprise. The names that were up there with him, John Means of the Orioles was second in the voting. Wow. Brandon Lau was third. He played, I mean, he missed like damn near half the season to injury.
But you remember when he didn't make that all-rookie team Bleacher Report did?
Well, Eloy Jimenez was fourth, and he made it. So,
okay.
Yeah, shows you.
Albert was asking right now, who do you have as coach of the year? He mentioned Tom, and you said Harbaugh, Gruden, Shanahan. I agree with Harbaugh, Shanahan. I'll throw one more in the mix, depending on what happens tonight. Pete Carroll so far.
Yeah.
And then biggest surprise from the past.
You passed on my Gruden, huh?
Yeah, I don't think Gruden's on that list. They're better than I thought they'd be, but they're still not.
They've got to be way better than you thought they'd be.
I mean, I thought they'd be fairly mediocre, and they're slightly better than mediocre.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I thought they'd be bad.
I mean, has he done a better job than I thought he would so far this year? Yeah, but I still don't. Yeah, he's not on my list, not top five. And then biggest surprise to me was the way the Falcons did the Saints in New Orleans. Is asking the biggest surprise from the past NFL week.
Yeah,
I wasn't really shocked that the Dolphins were able to win against the Colts,
especially as soon as they announced Hoyer. Right?
Okay. That one was. You're like, oh, okay.
But yeah. Which, by the way, the next two games for the Raiders, who have now won four of their last six, they're sitting at 6-4, or no, 5-4. Their next two games, Bengals, Jets.
Ooh,
they could be 7-4. And then they get the Chiefs, and who knows what the Chiefs are.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Joining us now, as he does most Mondays, this microphone here, Lance Erline from the bench. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Well,
you ready for the big cold front coming in, Fred? It'll be just like... just like you're in, where is it, Manitoba? Where do you go?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yeah.
Regina.
Yeah, Regina.
It's always warm in Regina.
Well, the...
That's an easy one.
Yeah. The number one question that I got over the weekend is Joe Burrow's draft stock. So I think
it's
you're
hard.
The perfect guy to answer that.
It's hard.
Well, first of all, where did you think Joe Burrow was going to be drafted before this season?
Oh, 6th, 7th, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Yes, he doesn't fit the – so he didn't have the production last year. And y'all can save the, well, you didn't watch a second half of the season. So he had 10 touchdowns and no interceptions in his last four. But that included, like, East Carolina, Rice, somebody else, and Texas A&M. Joe Burrow played better the second half of the season, for sure. But he did not have plus production. He was a little inconsistent with his accuracy and ball placement, a little inconsistent with deep ball throws. He does not have a big arm. Like, a lot of what he had were intangibles. Toughness, he's got intelligence, high football character. You could see that he kind of understood what he wanted to do with the football. And then, so when you add all that stuff up, you're talking about maybe a backup in the NFL. Maybe a backup. Then he comes out this year, and they've got a new offense, and he is throwing more accurately. There's just no way around it. I mean, forget what the number says. Well, you can't forget what the number says. His accuracy on what I call everyday throws, just from point A to point B. There's an open man, throw it. It's right to the spot on a consistent basis. His accuracy when he is pressured is fantastic. His poise in the pocket has been really, really good. And then, you know, I've never doubted his toughness or his ability to make some plays outside of the pocket.
He's got speed.
Yeah, he can run. I mean, you know, he's kind of like Daniel Jones in that way, where Daniel Jones ran some zone read stuff. He can run as well. I think Joe Burrow's going to come in, and he's not going to have some of the fine-tuned, you know, technique that Daniel Jones had, who was a sixth pick of the draft. But I gave Daniel Jones a second round grade. Joe Burrow is, I want to wait till the tape comes out, but I mean, what I am seeing on television and live in person against the Longhorns is he just, when you look at quarterbacks, you got to remember how do they rise to the occasion? Can they physically rise to the occasion, and can they mentally? And the answer so far has been yes on all counts with Joe Burrow. So he's not going to have a great arm, but if he throws with accuracy, if he's smart, there are ways to mitigate arm strength. And his arm strength is not, it's not terrible. It's not terrible. But it's like I told somebody, I think I said it this morning on the show, the difference between Nathan Peterman and Joe Burrow is that Nathan Peterman plays scared football, and Joe Burrow has this swagger that really masquerades as a quiet confidence, but really it's a swagger, and he's fearless. And I can't say enough about it. I mean, I was absolutely wrong on what I saw this summer. I think what I saw this summer was what I saw. But that kid's really improved as a football player. And we forget sometimes that you can get better with more experience. And he hadn't had a ton of experience last year when he, his first year as a full-time starter at LSU.
By the way, 14 degrees in Saskatoon right now, so it's not quite the same.
We're in the 50s already.
What about Tua? Did you see anything out of him that changed your opinion?
No, not really. I mean, he clearly wasn't the same on the ankle. I tell you what is starting to bother me a little bit about Tua is Tua has a tendency right now to get baited into throws. I saw it his freshman year. Didn't see it as much as sophomore year when he was really, really good. And then this year, you can bait him into some ill-advised throws from time to time. It's hard to get a full read based on what I saw the other day because he just wasn't moving the same. That play where he tried to slide, and he really cost his team a first down that they didn't get on fourth down either, and it was a big momentum shift the other way. I think usually Tua will get that. You know, will make that first down, but nothing's really changed on Tua. There's a lot of things to like. He was never going to be the top player in the draft, like from a talent standpoint. That was never going to be the case. No one's going to be better than Chase Young talent wise from Ohio State. But I'm still not convinced that Joe Burrow ends up going ahead of Tua. I'm not really sure how the quarterbacks stack up.
I was going to say, because I mean, there's still guys like Justin Herbert, who last year everyone was so high on, and I think he's had a good season. Mm-hmm. I think Jacob Eason is a guy who's got all the physical tools that teams will look for, and I still think Jake Fromm is a guy who he's almost like a safe bet.
Yeah,
like a Teddy
Bridgewater
type. He's a
game manager. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he would be the first one taken, but those are the guys I could see going in the first round. And then I guess there's guys like Jordan Love or KJ Costello. There'll be somebody who someone
Love
falls in
hurt
love
himself
with
this year. He hasn't played as well, but you know, Jordan Love from Utah State, Justin Herbert from Oregon. You mentioned Eason. I mean, these are guys with physical tools.
Yeah.
So those guys usually rise
Tua,
up the board.
Tua doesn't necessarily.
He's
have.
Shorter. I mean, he's a great athlete. And he's got a lively arm, but he's not. You know, there's going to start to be questions about his durability now because this is high ankle issues two straight years. And then he's well put together, but he's still a little shorter. And the whole Baker Mayfield, you know, Baker did open the door, I think, for Kyler Murray, where you weren't as worried about height or size. But then Kyler's a special, special athlete. Now Baker all of a sudden is struggling. And I wonder if guys are going to start saying, hey, wait a minute. Tua's been hurt 2 years in a row, and he's not the biggest guy in the world. I wonder if this is an issue.
But, yeah, I was going to ask about Baker and Kyler and what their performance is doing for guys that are going to come out going forward, and particularly what does it do for Jalen Hurts, who's a guy we didn't mention, but I mean, Jalen Hurts is going to end up having crazy numbers at the end of the season, and I'm sure is going to get drafted somewhere, but how much of a risk are people going to be willing to take? Because these Lincoln Riley guys getting to the NFL, now it's like, well, maybe there's a reason why Baker Mayfield was a walk-on, and maybe there's a reason why, you know, Kyler Murray was overlooked by some teams.
I think it's tough early on. I mean, they're still, I think both guys, number one, Baker's got to manage a room full of big personalities, and that's a bad situation. It's a bad building.
He's also got a dummy coach.
Freddie Kitchens has not. Now you got leaks coming out of there that, well, the analytics department wanted this, this, and this. I mean, it's a splintered building, and it's not a good situation and spot for Baker Mayfield to have two guys that want the ball as badly as Landry and Odell Beckham. So I don't know how that one's going to turn out. I think Kyler's going to be fine. The question with Kyler is, how long does it take to fully? Because he has flashes where he looks really, really good, and then flashes where he looks like, you know, he's lost.
Where he lost the game for them at the end yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, just a stupid, stupid turnover.
Yeah,
bad, bad, bad. Where they are
inexcusable.
You've got to be better than that. But that's what you see with rookies sometimes. So I'm not, you know, I don't think that's really going to hurt. I don't think that's going to hurt Jalen Hurts. I think what hurts Jalen Hurts is he doesn't throw with great anticipation. Jalen Hurts is not the passer that, I don't care what the numbers say. We're starting to see with some of the inconsistencies of Oklahoma, he is just not, he's not the passer that the other two guys were. He's a great leader. He'll have a ton of high football character stuff that are check marks in his favor. But as a pure passer, he's not anywhere near the category of the other two guys.
Okay, if I told you you can have anybody from this year's draft class, or you can have Trevor Lawrence, even though Trevor Lawrence hasn't had a great
Trevor
year.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, that's what I, that's just what I
too,
think too.
Just too much promise. Just way too much promise at an important position. Yeah, I haven't looked at all the guys from this year's draft class, so maybe that would change once I really get into Chase Young and some of the other guys out there. But you're talking about a quarterback with size, good arm, he can move, and he's won a lot of games. I think he understands how to win. He's been molded for the quarterback position for years and years. Very good, technically sound quarterback.
Well coached.
It's hard to assume anyone would take anybody other than Trevor Lawrence, even though he hasn't been great this year. Everyone, I think, because he's a quarterback and because of his potential and because of what you've seen in flashes, especially against Alabama last year, it's hard not to say Trevor Lawrence 100 times out of 100 times.
So the reason I mentioned Jake Fromm earlier, I tend to like guys like Jake Fromm who are – Jake Fromm, if there's one word to describe him, he's accurate. Like he doesn't miss on basic throws. He just doesn't miss. And we were talking about this earlier when Lamar Jackson came out. I said, I don't think Lamar Jackson can make it in the NFL because he's so wildly inaccurate. But John Harbaugh's figured out a way to make him not have to do the things that made him look bad on film.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just using him brilliantly. I don't think that he's suddenly more of an accurate passer than he was at Louisville. I just think that John Harbaugh's taking all that stuff out of the playbook. A, do you think that's true? B, how long can that last? Did you think Lamar Jackson had this kind of upside?
Oh, yeah, I thought he had this kind of upside. The question was going to – but, you know, I still have the same exact question. I absolutely thought he had this kind of upside, but the problem is assuming that he won't – get hurt when he has to run so much to be this explosive. Like, you can't tell him not to run. You can't. That's what makes him special. And he's got, it's not like he doesn't have arm talent. He does. He's got a lively arm. So did Vic. And Vic had no touch. I think that a big part of Lamar Jackson's problems when he's inaccurate are his footwork and his, in terms of his balance. When he throws, that's always going to be some ups and downs. He'll hit it sometimes. He won't. I talked to Quincy Avery, about a month ago, who was Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach, and he talked about Watson having some of the same issues where his base would narrow up a little bit whenever he's searching for who to throw to, and when that happens, it would end up causing some issues for him in terms of his delivery. But I do think Lamar Jackson can get better throwing the football. I don't think accuracy is ever going to be a big plus for him, but he's such a playmaker. I compared it to being a big time home run hitter. You'll live with strikeouts. I mean, you'll live with some incomplete. Lamar Jackson can throw 58% completion percentage, because if he's going to keep running and having these explosive plays, who cares? Who cares if he misses and he gets a third and nine and then runs for 17 yards for a first down? Like, it just, you have to judge him on a little different curve because of what he brings to the table, which I've never seen anything other than Vic. I've never seen anything like it.
So now that we've seen a year and a half of these guys redrafting Baker, Darnold, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
Okay, so five would be Josh Rosen.
Okay.
Let's see. I would make – man, this is really tough because it's not like Allen's killing it with anything other than his legs and short yardage.
But well, he's also not turning the ball over.
Like, and there's something to him being, you know, big and strong. Lamar Jackson would be one. I would probably say Darnold, Allen, Baker. Okay. And that's actually shifted from earlier in the season.
Because you love Darnold early.
I love Darnold. And I still think Darnold has had nothing to work with. He's got no offensive line. Yeah. Le'Veon Bell's a shell. Well, I don't know. Le'Veon may not be a shell. The offensive line's terrible, and there aren't very many targets. So I can't really pass full judgment on him. There's plenty of targets and a bad offensive line for Baker Mayfield. I just wonder if Baker – I'm starting to be a little concerned that all this, you know, Baker attitude is maybe going to be counterproductive for him in the end, and it may be awfully tough for him to – succeed at the high enough level in Cleveland with that bleep show that's going on. Lamar Jackson, as long as you put him in the right spot, he's going to do well. Josh Allen, you know, I feel like Josh Allen, though, in pretty much any spot is going to be who he is as long as he reins it in.
Because he doesn't have a whole lot of weapons either.
He's not going to be a playmaker, though. See, this is my problem with Josh Allen. He's never going to be a guy that can put a team on his back and win. Like, Mariota had this issue, too. Mariota could cut down on interceptions, but he just couldn't. He wasn't a guy who could sit down at the blackjack table and bet big to win big. And I don't think Josh Allen's got a big arm, but I don't think he sees the field like a guy who can attack it and hit big plays and, you know, really light it up one year and take a shot at an MVP. That's not who he's going to be either.
After you saw the Ravens this week, how do you feel about the Texans' chances going into next week?
So I think it's a tough matchup. Of course, I said that about Jacksonville, and they smoked Jacksonville. I want to see who's healthy. But let's just say, has anything come out today? You probably haven't seen anything today.
I read the transcripts. It looks like there's no mention of Roby, but it looks like the offensive line will be intact.
So that's a really big deal, but they have to get Roby back, and here's why. Marquise Brown, you got to have Roby on Hollywood Brown. He's just too fast. You got to have your fastest guy on him. And then the other concern is they can get you on a lot of 12 looks, which is one running back, two tight ends. And if that's the case, one of those tight ends is going to be, you know, Mark Andrews, who's a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. So you got to worry about that in the slot. But then they can take Hayden Hurst or Nick Boyle and block you in the running game, and now you got to worry about them coming downhill on you, not just with Mark Ingram, but obviously Lamar Jackson. And so how do you handle your linebacker situation? Who are you going to use to spy Lamar? Are you going to use Zach Cunningham? I mean, I
think you've got to use somebody.
You have to
like,
use a DB.
Yeah, Justin Reed.
So you may be in sub-packages for most of the game, which is my concern, Fred.
And now you've got one-on-one with Hollywood Brown.
Now you got one-on-one with Hollywood Brown, and then you got a safety who's got a guard, or maybe even a linebacker on. Yeah, I don't think a linebacker can guard Mark Andrews.
That's where you hope Gibson's healthy, because he's pretty good at guarding tight ends, and mm-hmm. you could take one of those guys at least. But that's, again, that just depends on who's healthy back there.
If you're the Texans, you probably want to sit in five DBs and maybe even occasionally six DBs and just say, look, beat us with Ingram. Lamar Jackson's not going to beat us. Beat us with Ingram. We're not letting you beat us with explosive plays. I think I would do that. I think I'd say take your best shot with Mark Ingram in 25 carries, because we're not letting you hit these explosive plays. We'll have a bunch of DBs on the field.
Well, we'll see if that works. I mean, it's easier said than done.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson's very capable of making.
Well, Lamar just can sandlot it where anything that you plan really is irrelevant, because once he's in the open field, he is he's the most dangerous runner in pro football, all running backs included. He's the most dangerous runner in the open field.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench in the mornings at 7 to 9:30, basically, every morning, and does a great job with John and Raheel and the guys.
Oh, by the way, I met Mick Maynard at I was at dinner on Saturday night. I've met him before, but yeah. The UFC matchmaker who's from here and Legacy Fighting, which It was really cool getting to talk to him, seeing a guy who, you know, came up from the local ranks and then all of a sudden got a chance at the big time. I think it's an awesome success story.
No, he's great.
Yeah, good dude. Really.
Where are you guys at?
We're at Riel. He nice. Was there. I was about six shots deep, so... I mean, hopefully I didn't. I don't know if I mean,
if you remember,
I think everything
if you
was
remember
fine.
Meeting him, then you probably did all right.
Yeah, I think everything was fine. Yeah.
All right.
We'll see you guys.
Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Baby girl, I know you understand. I'm trying to go be my family.
For over 1,000 years, Roman conquerors returning from the wars enjoyed the honor of a triumph, a tumultuous parade.
Saluting all the men and women who served our nation.
Sir! Yes, sir!
Happy Veterans Day.
We are citizens of an American nation.
From ESPN.
Sir, yes, sir.
97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Join us at Whitmire's, Houston's first distillery, Thursday from 4 to 7. Whitmire's carefully produces their small batches with pride, passion, and enthusiasm, and they never settle or sacrifice quality. And guess what? We want you guys to come out and help us pick... we're going to pick a barrel, and then they're going to put them in the bottles right there for us.
On the spot.
Yeah. And if you're having a party or something, they do that for you. So come join us for happy hour this Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. Let's do this at our Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Panhock Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I think we can all agree that gender reveals are probably the dumbest thing that's come out in the last few years.
I feel like they get worse and more dangerous.
Yeah, well, and that's what happened here. And this is in Texas, interestingly enough, a place called Turkey, Texas, where maybe they went a little bit too far, as they tend to do with these gender reveals. And this one was a complete failure. On September 7th, the pilot was flying a... plane that's basically a crop duster with the mission to dump 350 gallons of pink water while flying to announce to the world that the couple was having a baby girl.
Oh boy.
Well, guess how this one backfired? The plane was flying at a very low altitude, got too slow, stalled, and crashed. slammed into the ground, flipped over. So the airplane sustained damage to the fuselage, right wing, and something called the empennage. Yeah, but that's going to be a really good one to tell your kid when she's older.
Yeah.
You know, you killed an airplane at the gender reveal. But last year a guy was ordered to pay $8 million for his that started a fire and burned 45,000 acres of land in Arizona. There was one that a car burst into flames, one where the dad ended up in a cast, one with a father getting hit in the face with a baseball. And now we got a plane crash.
It's getting worse and worse.
So, guys, if you're thinking about doing some weird gender reveal, stop. Public service announcement.
There you go.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. All right. I got to tell you guys about my good friends over at Carbach. And I hope you guys made it out to Foam Hinge last night. Looked like an awesome time. And the great thing is it's still an awesome time at Carbach. The restaurant is always 7 days a week. They're open, slinging great grub, burgers, pizzas, tacos. I love the Korean fried chicken. Fantastic food. And the even greater thing, they've got great beer on the wall all the time, including beer that you can't get anywhere else but at Carbach's restaurant. That's awesome. Stop by, check it out, 7 days a week. Brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. They're open for lunch and dinner every day. But make it part of your schedule. You know, you guys rotate through some restaurants. Make sure you swing by Carbach and try them out. Try all their great beers when you're out and about. And follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to keep up with all the goings and blowings out at Carbach with the restaurant, the music series, and the beer. And when you're out and about, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.